Blog Talk Radio.
And that seemed to be a cult. So man needs salvation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 10 through 11, in today's time, when you think about the religious cults that's among us, when you think about all in Atlanta, Georgia, we are so diverse that we have people from all over the world and all over the country. And when they come, they don't come into town and join our little church. They come into town. Most of them bring their own worship, and all you got to do on Sunday morning is drive up and down the highway, our roads and streets of town, and you'll see little storefronts. You'll see little houses that's been turned into worship. You'll see people who five or six cars in the yard worshiping. Mega churches, and we see some cults. People who have just crossed 15 lines. I mean, they have just gone so far. They have gone so far to the left that it's just pitiful. And once you get involved in one of those cults, you knock on the door and they let you in and you stay there for about a minute or two. Next thing you know, you can't go nowhere. You can't go out. You're locked into that situation. It's just a mess. But man needs real salvation. And I want to carry with you in some way and somehow that when you start looking for a religion, when you start looking for, and we don't have the common religion among us hardly anymore. And we have them, but they just prominent religion like it used to be, like in my hometown, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, little churches of that sort. But we have so many different religions in Atlanta. It'd probably take a whole tablet. To name all of them. And I would encourage you, when you go down the road, start looking at the names of these churches. They've changed from your common religious that we normally know. They've changed from that. And look at some, how in the world do they come up with some of these names? Some of them have absolutely nothing to do with the Bible, has nothing to do with religion. I don't even know why they pulled the rabbit out of the hat on that. But here's the whole situation. Here's the whole situation with that I want to encourage you. When you're looking for a church home, read the directions, and the directions is the Bible. Over my lifetime, I've put a lot of toys together. I put some bicycles together. I put some things around the house together. And sometimes I'll just open the box and pull it out in the floor, and I just start putting the thing together. And then at the end, I find out that I got about three parts left on the floor, and I'm thinking that the thing is put together. But when that happens, you know the best thing to do? Read the directions. So when I go back and read the directions, I find out that halfway through what I was putting together, parts should already been put on so that I could help with other parts. So the same way is in the Bible. You'd be grabbing a scripture over here and a passage over here and one of your favorite pet passage over yonder and everything. But let me tell you, stop doing that and just start reading your Bible. Don't go in Matthew and pick out three passages you like and ignore all the rest of them, or 1 Corinthians or James or John or Romans or something like that. Oftentimes we ask people, what is your favorite passage of scripture? I know I've asked them that. And they say, yeah, my favorite passage of scripture is the 23rd Psalm. And I don't fault 23rd Psalms at all. I don't have no problem with it. But have you ever read Romans 6 and verse 1 and 2? Have you ever read 2 Timothy 2 verse 15? Have you ever read 2 Timothy 3 verse 16 and 17? See, that's our problem in reading the Bible. And so when you go back and you read the instruction, you pretty much got to start from the first. You can't just open the instruction and then start at the last. reading last. So I would encourage you to read your Bible. And when I say read your Bible, I'm putting this extra phrase onto it. Read the instruction. That's what's going to get you to heaven. That's what's going to get you saved. That's what's going to get you on God's side, is read the instruction. And so knowing this first, knowing that's what the first of the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifested unto God. And I'm trusting also that it made manifested in your conscience. In Ephesians 2 and verse number 12, he said that at the time you were without Christ, then aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, having no hope and without God in this world. He says you need him. You got to have him. And especially in today's time, every day. I can't hardly think of a day, and that's pitiful, that we have gotten up one morning and look at the news, that overnight, some kind of way, within that 24-hour period, somebody then got shot or stabbed. And now, lately, I used to not hear a whole lot about this right now, but lately here in Atlanta, especially, we've been having a lot of people killed with stray bullets that wasn't even involved in the ruckus, that wasn't even involved in the situation at all. And children, I mean, and we've had babies that was in the cradle, two, three, one year old, almost just born. And just the other day, I think we had a 9-year-old boy, something like that, killed. And then at a skating rink here in Atlanta, I mean, people go out to have fun. They say, you know, somebody pull a gun, pull a knife, something like that. And they said over 90 shots was fired. Over 90. Now, you know, over 90 shots being fired in any direction, somebody going to be hit. Somebody going to be hit. Do we need the Lord? Lord, have mercy. We sure need the Lord. And these homes where these young men and young ladies are coming from, this keeping up this ruckus at parties that they wasn't even invited to. And some of them they go to, and some of them got so much on their shoes. They got so much on their shoulders. They got so much chips on their shoulders that it don't take long for somebody to knock them off. And then, you know, we used to draw a line in the ground until you cross this line. You know, all of that kind of stuff. And then in traffic, and especially, I keep saying especially in Atlanta, because I know in some town we went through, we was coming from Huntsville the other morning. We got up at 3 o'clock in the morning to start driving to come back to Atlanta so that we could be here for worship. And we went through some little towns that were sound to sleep. I mean, we was the only thing moving through that town, but not Atlanta. We are in a town that never sleeps. We got something going on all the time with so many nightclubs and so many places that you can go and some things that you do and so many people who are working at night too. And so very seldom do you ever see our traffic stop at all. There's something always going on. And so do we need the Lord? Yes, we need the Lord. You need to be studying your Bible anytime you can get a chance on your breaks. It's because we've got too many stray bullets flying around Atlanta, so many people just getting hit that wasn't even part of the fight. And so in Hebrews 9, verse 27, he said, as is appointed unto a man wants to die, he said, but then after that comes the judgment. And then in Ecclesiastes 12, verse number 7, he said, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall go back to God who gave it. Do we need the Lord? Yes, we do. Do we need more congregations to start being about God's business other than the preacher? Yes, we do. And I can't, when I read the Bible, the Bible didn't tell just the preacher to say so. You know, people be hiring preachers and they, man, we want you to help us build this church and we want such and such people saved and everything. And I'm thinking, what did you do before he ever showed up? You personally, all your life, haven't won not one soul. You personally have not had one person come in the door, even though he turned around and left. So you can't a troubled church. You need to hire you a good preacher that can lead you into helping that church grow. Look around you. and ask the question, why are your congregation not growing? And sometimes it is because of the preacher. I've known that. But most of the time it's because the 100 people that's in there are not doing their particular part. So mankind need salvation, and they need it now. They can't wait till Sunday. And that's another part of our problem, too, is we got a Sunday religion. We don't have a Monday through Saturday religion. We got a Sunday religion. We don't pick up a Bible. Some of us don't pick up a Bible until Sundays. Some of us don't even pick up our religion until Sundays. So we need to get back to that seven-day religion. Jesus loved you. He died for you, and he's coming again. And mankind really needs salvation, and we have what they take because we've got the instructions. May God bless each one of you, and until we meet again on this program, and try to have a super-duper week.